it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped the 17-yard line. Roquan the Chef Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire inside Crane 1, 2. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's playing well. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up, what's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're aboard here on this Monday night. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. Also on Snapchat, Snap Jay Hood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. We will hear from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs like a blanket for ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts about the Cubs winning 2 out of 3 against the Washington Nationals. And looking ahead to their series against the Milwaukee Brewers starting on Tuesday. Also, we will find out the pettiest of the sports weekend. You can find people looking for the wackiest story of the sports weekend. Waka waka. You can find those that are looking for the strangest stories of the sports weekend. We'll look for the pettiest stories of the sports weekend. We'll have that for you this hour here on ESPN 1000. Also, this hour, we got your hookup. Francisco, my guy from Crest Hill, he already won a pair of tickets to the Fantasy Football Convention and Championship taking place on Saturday, August 25th at Joe's Live in Rosemont. We got another pair of tickets to give away. You can buy them online, of course. You can close to the Facebook page for ESPN Chicago. $10 for the convention, $15 for convention and live draft. But I want you to win them here in Under the Hood. So that way, it's all squared away. You're going to the Fantasy Football Championship and Convention. It's going to be all good. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Stay by your listening advice this hour. How can you win? Find out this hour right here with me, Jonathan Hood, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So before we hear from Jesse, a number of things that we got to get to. Roquan Smith, that is the lead story today. Roquan Smith signs finally with the Chicago Bears. And Roquan Smith has come to terms, a nice deal for him. It's good to see that he's going to be in the Bears' fold. He is slotted for $18 million over the 4 years. He was the last rookie to sign now for the 2018 calendar year. Adam Schefter broke the story on ESPN.com. The contract should include about $11 million in bonuses. Schefter talks about the details of the contract with Waddle and Sylvie earlier.
This is a hard deal to get done. It was a question of language in the contract and whether any of the guarantees were voided by any on-field behavior. And in this particular case, I don't know where they came in on that. We know, as you just mentioned, it's going to be a 4-year, $18 million fully guaranteed deal with about $11 million in the form of bonuses. Money was not the issue. That's defined by the CBA. But there was a discrepancy and a difference on the language there. The Bears did not want to set precedent. The player would not give in. My guess is that the team acquiesced in some form or fashion, but I do not know that, okay? So I want to be very clear about that, because I think, from my senses, the player had been dug in, and there are other first-round picks that had the language that Roquan Smith was seeking. So if other players in the first round had it, I think the Bears could always say, look, we could do this for the first-round pick if they wanted. Now, I don't know, ultimately, that's where they came in, but he will have missed 2 preseason games. The Bears are playing 5. So he'll have 3 more games. I would imagine It'd be tough to get him in the first game this week. They could do it if they want, but why would you rush that? You won't want to do that. You want to make sure he's up and running and not force him onto the field before he's actually ready. So my guess is for the ever-important fourth preseason game, that's actually the third preseason game because the first game is really just a glorified scrimmage. I would think that you'll see Roquan Smith out there at that point in time. But, again, the holdout's coming to an end. That deal's going to get done. I would imagine it'll be finalized by the end of the day. The holdout will be over. Roquan Smith will be in, and the Bears' defense can begin to continue its improvements.
Awesome. Roquan Smith, and as a Georgia fan, I saw every snap of Roquan Smith at the University of Georgia. And so I'm here to tell you that I believe that Roquan Smith, he was a difference maker for sure for Georgia, and I think that he will be for the Chicago Bears. I think that he is going to be someone over the next decade you'll point at as a cornerstone for this Bears defense. I did not say the same thing for Leonard Floyd for a reason, is because I saw every snap of Leonard Floyd too, and I thought that Leonard Floyd was a nice player on the college level. I just think that he has to grow into the position in the NFL. I really think that this is going to be a pick that's going to bear fruit for the Chicago Bears for the foreseeable future. I'm glad he's in. Now, keep in mind the stumbling block there, and again, we'll find out about the language of the contract, but part of the reasons for his holdout in his contract is because it would allow the team to reclaim guaranteed money if the linebacker suspended under the NFL's new helmet contact rules. This is my disconnect when it comes to defense. Let's just be very clear about what's going on here in the NFL. When you play fantasy football, when you root for your favorite NFL team, what are you rooting for? You're rooting for your team to win, but also you want to see offense. Because that's the thing that's going to attract not just football fans, but also the novice. It's for children and women and some that are not necessarily always into sports or in the NFL. You want to find out how a certain team scored. And so the offense is a thing that really resonates with a lot of people, whether you're a diehard fan or just someone that's not really into football. You want to know who scored. So that's the whole bottom line of that. And so when it comes to defense, for whatever reason, defensively, we have gotten to the point now in the NFL where there are so many rules against defensive players, secondary players, linebackers, defensive linemen. They're just trying to get to the quarterback or they're trying to make a tackle. It might be a little bit hard, but you cannot take the physicality out of football. This is under the Goodell administration trying to be so safe, completely over the top trying to be safe. When it comes to head injuries, don't you know it's football? Don't you know that there's going to be injuries? Don't you know there's going to be head-on collisions? You do everything you can not to put someone out for their career. But you know there's going to be some physicality when it comes to football. And the idea that Roquan Smith is saying, no, you're not going to take my money if I just happen to have a head-on collision with someone. No, you can't do that. I've earned that money. These football players are in you could say at times football players are like, especially on the defensive side, it's almost like being in car wrecks time and time and time again because of the collisions. And so Roquan Smith has a point. He dug his heels in for a point. And the point was, is that the new helmet contact rules is again, a positive in the right direction for offensive players. That's not football. It just isn't. For those of you that enjoy the NFL the way you enjoy it now, that's cool, but that's not the football I grew up in. It's just not. It's not football. It's soft. It's what it is. Yes, you don't want somebody stretchered out every game, but that's the football I grew up with. I understand that you want to get away from that in 2018. I totally get that. But you cannot legislate the force, the brute force, and the physicality out of football. And that's what they're trying to do. They want every game to be 45-41, and I'm here to tell you, that ain't NFL football. That's Arena League football. And Arena League football, that's failing. And that's not a thing anymore, arena football. It's not a real thing like it used to be. You know, I think there was a time where you could fill up stadiums like, oh, we're just going to see every game 90-80. Oh, that's great. And all of a sudden, it started dying. You know why? Because you want to see both sides of the football. You want to see strong defensive plays. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald can't get on the field. Why? It's because they're not as important as quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs. And that's really unfortunate, but it's true. So we talk about this with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So you and I need a primer. We need to find out and go back to the draft about Roquan Smith. How good was Roquan Smith out of college? My good buddy Jeff Dickerson, I remember having him on during the draft. I asked him his thoughts about Roquan Smith being part of the Chicago Bears.
I got to say, I really like the pick. I felt that after Quentin Nelson went number 6 to Indianapolis, and then the Bucs moved out of number 7 to Buffalo so they could draft a quarterback, I just said, well, Roquan Smith has got to be the pick for the Bears. He's just, not just the best available player, but he fills a big need, Jonathan. Inside linebacker has been a bit of a problem area for this team. Trevathan is a nice player, Dave Trevathan, but he's hurt a lot. Terrell Freeman's not on this team anymore. Nick Kwiatkowski is a very good special teamer, and I think, can play, certainly has experience. But, maybe on a really good team, he's maybe a little more like a top reserve type guy. Mm-hmm. Roquan Smith is a day one starter, consensus All-American at Georgia, Buckus Award winner, SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And Jonathan, you watched him in college. He's got that sideline-to-sideline speed. He can make plays all over the field. He will hit you. He's smart, and he's a big-time leader. And people did question his size a little bit, but at 6'1", 236, Trevathan's 6'1", 240. I never understood that comparison, that problem there. Patrick Willis, who played for Vic Fangio in San Francisco, he played at 6'1", 240. So, and there's no perfect prospect, of course, in Roquan Smith. Did have a shoulder injury in college that did concern some people during the pre-draft process. But I just feel overall, not just the best player, but the best player at a position of need. And that's why I like this pick a lot for the Bears.
So does Ryan Pace.
He's a highly, highly intelligent player. And when we met with him and interviewed him, that shined through the whole way. I mean, I think, we interview guys at the Combine. We interview guys when they're here. And every time it was A+, A+. Every time we met with Roquan. And the information our scouts are gathering at the school, same thing. Talk to players that he's played with, same thing. So this guy checks all the boxes.
So the thoughts there from Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com. You heard from the general manager, Ryan Pace. Let me move on to something else. We're going to hear from Jesse in just a moment. I have an issue with Joe Madden. Got an issue with Joe Madden. It's one thing that the Cubs were able to win in a big way against the Washington Nationals yesterday because that was a thrilling game. Love the pitching matchup. I thought that was great. To go back and forth and see Max Scherzer against Cole Hamels, that was just great. It was a ton of strikeouts between both teams, but I thought it was a classic game. Nationals up 3-0. I'm thinking, okay, is this the end for the Cubs? They're going to lose this series. And then shake, 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 shake. Shake your Bodie?
Walk-off slam! Fastball down in the zone. Perfect swing down. A magical swing. A magnificent result with the bat flip. That's one that Mr. Bodie will never, ever forget.
Oh, man alive. Pinch hit, walk off, grand slam.
Got into that bullpen, and the Cubs win. That was an incredible game back and forth. Whether the Cubs are going to win it or not, I thought it was a terrific game. But the drama of Bodie coming through, a young man that doesn't necessarily have to be on this roster because of injuries of Bryant and it's almost, I'm willing to put it on the poll at ESPN 1000. Who would you rather have on this roster, Hap or Bodie? Because they're both interchangeable. It just shows you the depth of this Cubs team. Like, you don't know who's going to come through. But, they are just terrific. My issue with Joe Madden is this. You remember a couple of weeks ago that Alex Rodriguez, who is one of the voices of Sunday Night Baseball on the television side, had some thoughts about Yu Darvish. And Joe Madden was upset after Rodriguez said Darvish was on his own rehab plan and as he recovers from a right elbow ailment, while also indicating that this was an issue in the Cubs clubhouse. And Madden refuted those comments when they were made and said that has told Rodriguez that much because they met face-to-face. So they have not spoken or they have not seen each other since the last time Sunday Night Baseball covered the Cubs, right? So A-Rod met with reporters about the conversation he had with Joe Maddon.
Yeah, we had a brief, very positive conversation. Look, what's great about this is we all have the same interest, is to grow the game, to highlight stories as objectively as we can. Obviously, you guys are in the business, so you know that better than anyone. I thought it was a very positive conversation.
Would you change anything that you did if you could?
No, my job is to say it fairly and objectively, and I have over 25 years in the game, and I'm going to call it and say, we don't always have to agree on everything, but I do have a lot of respect for Joe and obviously the Cubs organization, and I have for a long time, and that hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, before I go to rehearsal, we even, Joe and I, plan to have drinks together. So that's planned. That's in the books.
So A-Rod speaking to the media, and of course, there's Joe Maddon.
Alex and I had a really nice discussion. I felt good about it. Hopefully he felt equally the same. We talked openly about it, and under those circumstances, for me, it's normally one of those things that you speak in a candid manner to one another, and then you move on from there. And I really believe through that conversation, we have a chance to become pretty good friends. When you speak badly of my group, our group, it brings out the Hazleton in me, pretty much. So I responded very open and candid about my comments, so we had a great conversation about that. And that's pretty much where I come from. I think it's hard to argue against that. I would respect anybody having the same opinion about protecting their brood and why. So that's, in a nutshell, how I feel about it.
Cool adult films music there from NBC Sports Chicago. I wonder who got the best of who on that film. So Madden's there, and you heard from A-Rod as well. Here's my problem. When you speak badly about my group, it brings a Hazleton out in me. I responded very open and candid. My job is to protect my brood. It's no different than being a parent. Can I tell you something? What does that even mean, bring the Hazleton out in you? What does that even mean? What does that mean? A-Rod heard something through the organization that said something about Yu Darvish. You know what the problem is? It got out. That's the problem. It got out. You notice how the Cubs do things, right? Felix, is Jimenez still on this roster, or is that Caratini's job now as a backup?
Caratini's job.
Okay. Who first talked about Yu Darvish being a little bit skittish about Cubs fans, especially on social media, because Darvish felt that Cub fans would be on him because of being on the disabled list twice? Who gave you that story first?
Jimenez.
Jimenez, yeah. Okay, so before that, was that last year or a couple of years ago? The other backup catcher, what was his name?
Miguel Montero.
Okay. And he said what? He said some things, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he said some things about Jake Arrieta that the Cubs did not like. Of course, that was the truth, too, and he was gone, too. Cubs don't like leaks, clearly. No organization really likes it, but A-Rod obviously was not making stuff out of thin air. Because he didn't refute his story. He was like, oh, no, it happened. Someone told me this. This is why I reported it. I just don't like those stories. It brings a Hazleton out of me. What does that even mean? What it means is that you are skittish because the story got out about your organization. And it's just not ho-hum Pleasantville at Wrigleyville. It's not 100% positive over there. And so the Hazleton coming out of him. I don't even know what does that even mean? Bringing the Hazleton out of me. What are you going to do? You going to swing at A-Rod? I'd take A-Rod 10 times out of 10, and he still wouldn't even mess up his pretty face. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about, Maddon? I don't even know what that means. Yes, your job is to protect your brood, but guess what? Sometimes there's going to be issues with your brood, and if someone reports it, I'm not saying that people around here are going to protect your brood, but I'm saying that a lot of people around here are going to protect your brood. A-Rod's not in the business to protect your brood. I'm just saying. There's a lot of people that are just mesmerized by all these long words and these long press conferences from Joe Maddon. Oh, my God. He won the World Series. I'm a robotized sheep. Just keep talking, Joe. I love it. Whatever you say is gold. Whatever you say is not gold. Whatever you say is not gold. if A-Rod says that he found out something and he reported it, guess what? He was a step above and a step ahead of a lot of reporters in this town, quite frankly. And some that probably knew it and didn't want to say anything because it's Joe Maddon. He brought a World Series to the town. So you can't say anything bad about him. What is this? The 1970s? It's ridiculous. Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jesse, we talked earlier about Bodie coming through for the Cubs. It really speaks volumes for the depth on this Cubs offense, right?
Yeah, certainly, because this is a guy that wasn't on anyone's radar. Who would have thought he could break through and get playing time with the veterans on this team, the young veterans who have won, you know, playoff games and World Series and all that stuff. But an injury to Bryant certainly opened up the door. Other guys are struggling, like Almora, Happ, Schwarber. So here's Bodie getting more and more playing time and impressing every single time he's on the field, whether that be on defense or at the plate. And obviously the moment doesn't get too big for him because now he's done it more than once. And no more dramatic than on Sunday Night Baseball, down 3-0 in the ninth.
What did you think of the walk to get to Zimmerman at the time? Good idea, bad idea on the part of Maddon?
Well, I hate intentional walks. So my initial reaction is I just think it's a bad setup. But it's a bad setup either way. You're facing Harper, whether Kinsler stays in the game or they go to Justin Wilson, first and third, or it's bases loaded, righty on righty. When you look inside the numbers, Zimmerman is hitting 186 against righties this year. That's pretty low, but he had been hot. I don't know what the good answer is. I don't like intentional walks, though, in general, and certainly not those to load the bases. When you're trailing, everything's a risk. You know, you're just rolling the dice, trying the righty-righty thing where the 186 might pop up and you get the double play or you get a pop-up. You know what I'm saying? You're just hoping. You're hoping. And so he hoped on that rather than Bryce Harper. And anytime you're moving away from Bryce Harper to a 186 batting average, that's not a bad thing. But anytime you're walking the bases loaded, that's not a good thing. So I really don't know. I didn't love it in the moment, but when I saw that 186, I'm like, all right, well, it's worth a shot. So that was kind of my feeling.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Maddon versus A-Rod, that was the controversy that you had to deal with on the national end. And so going back to our first conversation about this, what you told me was you thought that A-Rod went too far, that there might have been something to it, but you thought A-Rod went too far. Do you still feel the same way?
Yeah, and he sort of backed off kind of a little bit and stated it more of his opinion than anything sourced through the locker room or clubhouse. And in our field, in the media, there's a big difference between an opinion and something someone inside the clubhouse is telling you. What I do respect is his 25 years in the game, other than obviously the cheating part, but the fact that he's been in clubhouses, obviously, in spring trainings and all that stuff, and the way the Yankees did things. He said it on the air again. When you were injured, you were sent to spring training, the spring training facility, and told to rehab by yourself. And he said Steinbrenner took it as a motivation. And trust me, we've heard those types of things to be used on players. Like, hey, get out of here. If you're hurt, you're not going to be with the team and staying in 5-star hotels and you know, going to the beach in San Diego when they're there. And, you know, there is that theory that you should be isolated and work your butt off to get back. The Cubs don't believe in that, though. And it's been successful for the Cubs. They believe in that family sort of atmosphere. The atmosphere that allows a guy like David Bodie to have success at such a early age with little experience. They credit that atmosphere for that, but it's the same atmosphere that allows you, Darvish, to feel part of the team, and Kyle Schwarber, when he's recovering from that knee injury, to feel part of the team. Steinbrenner did it different. Alex Rodriguez was on different teams that did it differently. So I do respect where he's come from, but it just doesn't apply to the Cubs, and maybe he should have known that.
Hmm. I wonder, did that Hazleton come out from Maddon addressing Sutcliffe and his comments? Just wondering out loud.
I don't know, but it did it with Theo. I mean, Theo emphatically said, you know, Sutcliffe hasn't been around Darvish the way we have. Now, a little different what Sutcliffe said than A-Rod. I mean, Sutcliffe didn't say sources in the locker room. And, you know, I think A-Rod went further than anybody, further than me, further than Sutcliffe, so, and certainly said on national TV. But anyway, there's no doubt there was a little, as I've said many times, smoke, little brush fire around you, Darvish, and this whole rehab. People didn't quite get what was going on.
but it wasn't the forest fire that A-Rod made it out to be.
Jesse, you can see how comfortable Hamels is on the mound. I wonder if it surprises you how his approach is every time that you've seen him pitch here for the Cubs. What surprised you most about his approach?
Nothing about his approach. He's a World Series winner, knows exactly what he's doing. He's someone told me he got a perfect score in his ACT. I'm not going to question that. he's a guy that's smarter than you and I, probably.
Yes.
So his approach is his approach. He's been doing it for a long, long time. What surprised me is the stuff is so good. I mean, I said it last night. I said it on the radio earlier today. He's the left-handed version of what Darvish should be, meaning he has such a wide range of pitches that he can use any of them at any time. And when one's not working, he can go to another one. I feel like in following Darvish this year when he was healthy, the arsenal he had almost worked against him. It's hard to explain, but it wasn't something of a benefit to him. It was almost like a detriment because he didn't know how to use it. That's what I gathered in the short amount of time we watched him pitch, where Hamels knows how to use it, and he's using it incredibly well. Great movement on a lot of those pitches. Velocity on the fastball is 94, exactly where you want it for a guy that's 34 especially. So I think just the stuff being that good, and I mean from his changeup to his cutter to his curveball to his fastball, that's what surprised me more than anything about his approach.
I just think that series obviously is a positive for the Cubs, but it just shows you how snakebit the Nationals have been, whether it's injuries or ineptitude. This is what Davey Martinez is just dealing with, is he not?
Yeah, and he hasn't developed the culture that Joe has. Now, it's his first year ever being a manager. Remember, Joe had some training ground down in Tampa Bay when nobody was watching. He lost 100 games a couple years in a row. Nobody was watching them in 06 and 07. Then he figured some things out. All these things we see, they were refined in Tampa Bay. But he's always been good getting young players to play in this family culture. Doesn't seem like Davey has it right now. I mean, they're jettisoning relievers. I guess Mattson was hurt as he was pitching last night. It just seems a little bit dysfunctional there, and they got to get their act together, or they're going to be beat out by the Phillies and Braves, and that'll be pretty embarrassing for a veteran team with all that talent that they have.
My friend, it's the Brewers coming up next, followed by Pittsburgh. How do you foresee the next 6-7 games for the Cubs based on its pitching and based on the opponent that the Cubs have?
Yeah, I mean, quick two-game – it's almost weird. Quick two-game series, it feels like a split. Then a four-game series can – it's hard to predict 3 out of 4, 4 out of 4. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised the way they're playing if they just keep on, sort of splitting games, winning some good ones, losing some ugly ones. Even though they won this last night, it was kind of bad for 8 innings, right? 8 2/3 mm-hmm. almost. So they're still not clicking in all cylinders. I talked to Joe at his golf outing the other day. He hasn't changed his feelings on that just because they won last night or they won Friday when they were getting no hit. Look, they're gobbling up wins when they probably shouldn't be. That's a good sign. That can't last till late October, let's face it. So something's got to change here, both on the mound and at the plate. It's not been pretty. They're winning ugly, to borrow your White Sox 83 team phrase slogan. But I don't know if you can do that all the way through October. So let's see what happens here. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was a lot of splitting going on. Maybe you win some games you don't deserve, and then you lose some that you should win. And that's kind of what it's been for a while with the Cubs. But last night was really fun, whether they deserved it or not. I mean, you deserve what you get at the end of the day, and they're 13-11 since the break, which isn't fantastic, but it's certainly good enough to maintain first place.
You know what I saw in the backdrop on the step and repeat for Madden's golf outing, Try Not to Suck? I saw the logo. Try Not to Suck. You saw that, right?
Yes, I did. And they happened to be, just by chance, giving away that book as part of their, swag bag, whatever you want to call it, to the golfers. So, you pay $10,000 for a foursome and you leave with a book written by me. That's quite the deal, But Try Not to Suck was there at the golf course. Happy to donate to the outing. And, of course, you can buy it at Amazon or at a local bookstore. The definitive bio on Joe Madden. You can learn a lot about the things you're seeing now, the combination of analytics and his gut and, the way they play in the month of August with him rotating the lineup. All that stuff is in the book, so hopefully you can pick it up.
Absolutely. A fine book right there, Try Not to Suck, wherever you find your books. Absolutely. Jesse, as
thanks,
always, I appreciate it, man. No, checks in the mail. It's all right, buddy.
You crack me up every time, buddy. You're the best.
Local or national, I'm trying to get you some money, buddy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. No matter if your co-host knows what's going on or not, I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at ESPNChiCubs. Let's find out who has been the pettiest in the sports world with Petty Junction.
Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Oh, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's pettiest story? Petty Junction with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Time to find out the pettiest of the sports weekend as we put the pettiest people on the petty train. Yes.
Petticoat Junction.
My pettiest player of the sports weekend, Felix, is Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Now with the Denver Nuggets. He apologized Saturday for a video posted on social media in which he called the city of Cleveland a blank hole. Remember, I heard that before. Not about Cleveland. In the video, Thomas talks about the various cities in which he's played, then makes his comment about Cleveland, adding, "I can see why LeBron left again." Then Isaiah Thomas, of course, apologizes for his choice of words about Cleveland. I was just playing around. They don't show you everything for a reason. I don't even know what he's talking about. Now he's just backtracking because it's like it's his video, but then he's blaming someone else.
Yeah, he sounds worse apologizing. He should have just stood quiet and just accepted it for what it was, right?
You don't hear me say this very often on this program over the years. I really do not like Isaiah Thomas. I just don't. He is so easy to dislike. And a punchable face and just someone I do not like. You don't hear me ever say that. Right? You don't hear me say I dislike anybody in sports. I strongly dislike Isaiah Thomas. Just can't stop talking. He is the embodiment of little man's complex. He just yes. is. I just yes. I, he just feels like, oh, I'm a max player. Oh, I should. Why did they trade me? I don't know why Cleveland traded me. Now Cleveland's a bunch of blank holes. What was the point of all that? You're making a minimum for a reason because you're a minimum person, quite frankly.
Yeah, and then he's taking a shot at Cleveland, right, and saying that's why Bron left them, right? But didn't Bron also get him traded? So, yes. Why is he really, looking out for LeBron in that sense? You know, LeBron left Cleveland, yeah, but LeBron traded you.
Because you
much.
Couldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
He got in there. He first got there. I know we got a break, but I just want to say he just got there.
You're good.
He gets there, and he goes, yeah, everyone's blaming me for the defense. The defense was bad when I got here. He just got there. He just got to Cleveland and started already deflecting. Like, the defense is not my fault. What is your problem, man? Just when you want athletes to speak their mind, I don't want him to speak his mind ever again. So, definitely, he goes in the petty train.
Petticoat Junction.
All right, Felix.
Mine real quickly here is Jimmy Butler. Today on Instagram, Jimmy Butler posted a photo with three guys behind him. I'm guessing they're his entourage. And they're all looking in different directions. And his caption says, "One job of a leader is to show the lost ones the way. Every last one of these idiots behind me look hella lost," shaking my head. So then we have _ D. Thomas, who comments and says, "So show Towns and Wiggins the way then, instead of crying about them." Jimmy Butler decided to then write back to _ D. Thomas and says, "I don't cry about blank. I'm a grown man. You show them since you have all the answers." Come on, Jimmy. Come on, man.
Hollywood is hell.
Jimmy Butler. No need. _ D. Thomas. You have to reply and make that comment. Like, really, man? Really? Oh, we'll never get it, man. We'll never get it.
So there you go. Put him on the petty train. Okay, so you have Jimmy Butler. You got Isaiah Thomas. Who's the pettiest in the sports
weekend. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Caller number six, regular line, 312-332-ESPN. Isaiah Thomas or Jimmy Butler? You heard both stories. Who's pettier? Caller six, tell us who it is, and we'll hook you up with tickets to the Fantasy Football Convention. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood weeknights here on ESPN 1000. Saturday, August 25th, if you can go to Joe's Live in Rosemont for the Fantasy Football Convention from ESPN 1000, brought to you by Miller Lite. Caller six, regular line. Who's pettier? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. As we want you to go to the Fantasy Football Convention Saturday, August 25th, tell us who's more petty.
I'm just being petty.
Petticoat Junction.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Dan from Shanahan won the tickets to the Fantasy Football Convention. We'll have more tomorrow because we're on between 7 and 10 tomorrow here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And tomorrow we'll have Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Josh Lopez will be with us, one of the fantastic young writers that covers professional wrestling / sports entertainment. We'll get his thoughts. Also working on Silas Young of Ring of Honor. Might be on the program as well tomorrow. But Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday, after SmackDown Live, 9 o'clock, tell a wrestling fan. Tell them, like, Hood Talks Wrestling after SmackDown Live at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. It's called Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. And the Sox lose again. Ooh, that's hard to watch. I don't know how Bill Melton is just, he's already a wonderful broadcaster, but you can just see how he's just aging like a president.
Just watching these games.
So bad. He's underpaid watching this nonsense. Yeah. Can't hold a lead. So horrible. What a terrible season. Okay, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, it's interesting when you see the last day of a major championship. And if you were with us on Sunday between 3 and 6, you heard Myron Metcalf and I on the Dickerson and Hood Show talk about the PGA Championship out of St. Louis. Think about all the golfers, right? Jason Day, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka. There are a lot of names that play tremendous golf, but they don't have the history and the compelling story of Tiger Woods. Brooks Koepka actually won again. He's 28 years old. He's won three majors in the last eight, and Brooks Koepka was the winner. But you know what the story was today? The story was Tiger Woods. Tiger stands out for several reasons. Number one, he's Kaplan Asian. Number two, he is bringing non-golf fans to the television. His success was the success of golf course owners across the country. And that rivalry between Tiger and Phil Mickelson was a solid rivalry. It was great for golf fans and great for non-golf fans as well because they were drawn to the television. When people ask why Tiger is compelling and polarizing, that's a win for golf. Even if you have to ask the question. He's 42 years old, in the mix late on Sunday. I did not see the numbers coming into our show tonight. I'm sure the numbers on CBS were tremendous. But it goes to show you that at 42, Tiger Woods right there at the end on Sunday at the PGA Championship, even though Brooks Koepka won it, people are wondering, is Tiger in the hunt? Is he still wearing that red shirt? It's amazing that he's still thought about because you know why? Because we in America love a redemption story. As cynical as we can be on social media and as cynical as we can be to our fellow man, I think that still matters when it comes to redemption, a redemption story. Tiger Woods was the main headline, even though Brooks Koepka won. Here's Tiger Woods.
I'm in uncharted territory because no one's ever had a fused spine hitting it like I'm hitting it. So I've had to try and figure this out on my own. And it's been really, really hard. It's a lot harder than people think. And I'm just very pleased at what I've done so far. And now, I mean, to be part of the Ryder Cup conversation, going from where I've come from to now in the last year, it's been pretty cool.
How much of a process has this been for you coming back?
I didn't know what my schedule would be. I didn't know how many tournaments I'd play this year or if I'd even play. And so each tournament brought about its own challenges. And I didn't know what the number was going to be this year. I didn't know how I was going to play. And so at the beginning of the year, if you said, yeah, I would have a chance, legit chance to win the last two major championships, with what swing? I didn't have a swing at the time. You know, I had no speed. I didn't have a golf swing. I didn't have, you know, my short game wasn't quite there yet. You know, my putting was okay, but, you know, I hadn't played in 2 years. And so it's been a hell of a process this year.
This guy is going to win another major. I don't know when, but he's going to win another major. And finally tonight, Tom Brady is black. According to Chad Johnson.
You played a season with Tom Brady. I always wanted to know something, man.
He's black.
Is Tom Brady's black?
He's black.
And people just don't know? He just light-skinned?
He's black, man. Tom Brady, listen, I never met Frank Sinatra, but if I had to take a guess, Frank is black, too. You know, just based off, you got to meet Tommy. You wouldn't understand it, you know.
Really?
Me just saying it, but,
wow.
You know, he's Robin Thicke. You get where I'm going with this.
You know? He has like some. He has some soul, man.
You can't teach that type of just aura.
That glow. Yeah. What's the best piece of advice or like the best thing you learned from him that he ever gave you?
The way he works. I mean, I hate using that freaking cliche because you know to get to that point or get to that pinnacle of your career and be successful, you got to work with it, man. He was just smooth at everything he did, man. Even the way he carried himself at work.
I feel that. That's what's up.
Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, says that Tom Brady is black. And that is our show tonight. Here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to Matt Bowen and Jesse Rogers for being with us. Felix Reyes on the other side of the glass. All right, tomorrow, 7 to 10. Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday at 9 o'clock. We'll hear from Jesse as we get ready for Cubs against Milwaukee and so much more. For Felix, I'm Jonathan. Let's do this tomorrow. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. Download it. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download the podcast now. Now!
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, run that back. Give them the info they need.